This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
For our own salvation and happiness and success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, what is translated as, O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves, meaning worship Allah on His terms, as is His right upon you. And do not die except in that state of submission, of obedience to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to consistently live upon Islam and to die upon Iman. Allahumma ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he fled for his life from Mecca to Medina with Abu Bakr radiallahu an, instead of going the direct route physically, they took a route that would not be expected by those who would be chasing them. They actually went partially south. And as you know in the famous story in the narrations, they hid in the cave along the way as they were being pursued. But when we look at this scenario, we find that within the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was someone who strategized. There was deliberation, there was wisdom, there was thought put into his life, put into the mission. And we have many other examples as well, amongst them the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the strategy that went into that specific moment in dealing with Quraysh. You find in these scenarios in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like commanding the companions to go to Abyssinia al-Habasha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very intelligent and was a strategist when it came to everyday life. But oftentimes when we talk about these scenarios, we experience in some part of our personal lives or in the community efforts, something that is missing of strategy. And by missing out on one facet of strategy in any area of life, we may be missing out on ripple effects of goodness or righteousness or justice in the world or your own potential that you want to fulfill. How does a Muslim live a life in which they are strategizing? And what is the importance of this? When you look at different analogies, you have the analogy in sports, you have this in business, you have the analogy in one's education for the university semester or particular program that a student is pursuing. You have this in mundane and insignificant things, even like games. In one of the most universal games in the world, the game of chess, you have two players who have no chance. There's no dice, there's no luck. There's strategy in very specific ways in which the pieces move. You don't have to really know about chess to understand this analogy. If someone were to tell you, I'm playing the game of chess and I have no strategy at all, you would probably assume they're not going to win. What are you doing with your moves? But in reality, they are still making moves. Their moves are all reactive to their opponents. Their moves are a reaction to what's happening in the world around them. And way beyond something mundane like a game, like the game of chess, our lives are not limited to two variables, to two individuals. Our lives are not limited to 64 squares on a board. Our lives are much more complex, and they require us to put in a lot more thought, and a lot more strategy, and a lot more deliberation, and a lot more connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for some reward for the effort of strategizing. If you apply this to business, you'll find that you cannot really succeed in your business without having some kind of plan. And this is why many businesses, in fact, do fail. You'll find if a student starts the university semester and there's no plan to study, they may struggle. And oftentimes they may push themselves at the last moments and put themselves at risk of not passing or possibly failing. And when you think of your life in all these different dimensions, you start to realize from the Islamic lens, it is in fact an obligation upon every one of us to have deliberation, to have plans, to strategize. And so even for your personal health, if you know you're struggling with something and you are required to change your lifestyle in terms of eating or exercise, what are you waiting for? A 5-year plan, a 10-year plan? You start today. You start with the end in mind. This is what I want. And you work your way towards it. With your family, your quality relationships, your education, your business. And oftentimes when we talk about this, we have a lot of people who say, I don't feel like it's that important to strategize. But you see the impact of one person who strategizes and one who does not. You see the impact of a political party, parties in general that strategize. You can't have an effective political party that does not strategize in many Western countries. They are planning and they are plotting and they are working really hard and spending a lot of time and money in order to achieve certain outcomes. So how can we as Muslims not strategize for our lives, for our communities, for reforming the world around us? How can we neglect something like this when the Prophet ﷺ tells us, إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. We shouldn't have a feeling of being passive, that I'm just reacting to my life circumstances. Whatever comes my way, I'll do it, I'll deal with it. I'll barely, you know, aim for a job or aim for an income or aim for education or marriage or children. You have to strive. But you strive for the things that will benefit you. So there's a connection in terms of effort to the outcome being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ. In one of the most famous narrations and commands from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasizes to us the lifestyle of the strong and therefore smart believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with all of the narrations about deliberation, is connecting it to the purpose of life. And so if you want to strategize in your life and you ask, where do I even begin? We go back to the basics. Why are you here? Why do we exist? الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life in order to test you, to see who is best in their actions. So part of the strategy, the end in mind, in terms of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that every single day, part of the tactics of my life is that I'm pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what this temporary life is about. But there's another element of the future, which is not just this world that is not guaranteed. It's the part in which you are meeting Allah, now there's a final destination. So you start with the end in mind, and you work your way backwards. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. You know if you put in the right effort, and you strategize, and you spend time, and you sacrifice, that it's worth it. And what Allah gives you is much greater than what you put in. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ. You put in effort for a temporary life, as Allah commanded, and He will give you a life, and you'll have excellence, and reward, and happiness, and ziyada, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, when we have an end in mind, in any area of life, even if we're planning just a year ahead, we look back, may Allah grant us fruitful lives, we look back and we say, now I need my short-term milestones. How am I going to get to that destination? If you really care about your goal, you're going to set something of a strategy to accomplish that goal. And so oftentimes when people ask, what do I do along the way when there are challenges, we can mention a few general life principles with the short time that we have, inshallah ta'ala. Number one amongst them is that you don't want to spend all your energy and excitement and time in life on literally just planning. There are people who get stuck just planning. There are people who get excited planning for changes in life. But when it comes to the actual effort, there's very little action. And so you may find in certain contexts, like basketball or chess or a university semester, there's an end in sight. There's limited time. There's a clock. When the clock runs out, your time is over. Your opportunity is over. The game is over. But unlike these contexts, we have no idea how long our time is for. We have no idea when the clock runs out. It's very abrupt. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a good ending and to protect us from a sudden death, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua. So when we think of this particular point, we say, plan, but do not live only in planning phases of life. When you make it to the morning and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you life, do not assume that evening is guaranteed. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. As Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma told us, so if you make it to the morning, take advantage of this day that Allah gave you. It's another opportunity. You made it to the evening, take advantage before the evening is over and your life runs out. Take advantage of the moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and strive with passion, strive with ambition. The second reminder here is not to neglect managing what we are striving for. Oftentimes we do have good plans, alhamdulillah. In some area of life you have clarity. You have a mentor, you have a doctor, somebody told you exactly what you needed to get to your goal. And then you neglected the management phase, overseeing what you're actually doing. So there's a brother who literally once said, I don't feel like this applies to me because I'm not a strategic thinker. And he's a business owner, and his business is doing really well, mashallah. May Allah put barakah in all of our income, Allahumma ameen. But when I asked him about his business, he started talking about everything he invested of time. He started talking about all these terms and customer acquisition costs and cost of goods sold. And I'm like, mashallah, you really know your stuff. You are a strategist, but only in certain domains that you find valuable. A couple that came once and they said, I want to have a really rigorous homeschool curriculum for my children. I don't want them to go to a school that's going to hold them back. I want them to excel beyond their peers. And they put in so much effort with almost 150 pages of ideas and notes and istishara, consultation from others. And I said, you have a lot of information to work with here, mashallah. Why do people do that? Because you value the outcome that you desire. So if you say, I'm not going to strategize for something, it might not mean much to you, or maybe you are so proficient in it, you don't need to plan. But in reality, if you value your life, you value your afterlife, you value your health, you value the state of the ummah, strategy is necessary. And part of the strategy is to manage it as well. And as you plan, you're not doing this on your own, you're putting your trust in Allah. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. You put your trust in the one who never dies. We may at times find disappointment in social constructs, in structures of injustice, in people sometimes disappointing us or failing to be reliable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever present, and sometimes we forget to turn to Him. As you plan, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. You ask Him for barakah, divine blessings. You start in the name of Allah. You stay optimistic. You stay optimistic regardless of the outcomes as well. And that is a part of tawakkul, and we ask Allah to grant us that. Allahumma ameen. The third advice is to recognize that every single move you make in life, the tens of thousands of moves you make per day, subconsciously, and the major ones that you make consciously, every single move in every day is a unique opportunity. And so like the analogy once again of the game of chess, just as an analogy, you look at the first few moves that people make in the game of chess. By the third move, by the time two players are making their third move, you have over 120 million possible variations for that limited game of chess. After the fourth move, it's over 80 billion. And after the fifth, we can no longer count. And that's to tell us that, yes, life is very complex, but every move you make matters. They have ripple effects. Sometimes we belittle the small habits that add up. Sometimes we belittle the good deeds that are important and weighty on the Day of Judgment. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, do not belittle any good deed, even if it's to see your brother and you have a cheerful face. And of course, on the other side, make sure you are not belittling what people see as minor sins, what people are desensitized to, what people see as, you know, insignificant, no longer feeling remorse. Because the Prophet ﷺ warned us about this. The minor sins are like a group of people who go out, they're traveling. They stop somewhere for the night and they decide they need to kindle a large fire to stay warm. And every single person in this audience goes and gathers a firewood, something to benefit them with. But once they accumulate, you have a massive fire. This is the analogy of the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes we do belittle certain things. Your small habits, sometimes with your health, the way you decide and the time you decide to wake up, the exercise, the time you spend with family, the quality time, your energy, where it's going, and your energy management, these habits do accumulate and add up. But every single opportunity is unique. We do not believe that this Jumu'ah prayer is like next week's Jumu'ah prayer. We do not believe today's Salatul Asr and Maghrib is like tomorrow's Asr and Maghrib. Today is its own opportunity. The problem with thinking that you always have tomorrow and you always have next week and that there's repetition, I'll always spend time with family later, is that, as we all know, that's not guaranteed. And if you live a lifestyle of always procrastinating and thinking every opportunity is endless, it's limitless, it'll always be here, we all recognize the reality that one day it gets cut off. One day it changes. One day a particular door of opportunity may close. And so someone may ask, in that case, how do I make moves in life if it's more complex than something as simple as the game of chess? And once again, we start by asking ourselves, is this move, this job, this project, this time, this hobby, this habit, is this part of my long-term strategy? Is this connected to the akhirah? Is this beneficial long-term? Will I stand on the Day of Judgment and look back and say, Alhamdulillah, even in a time in which there was leisure or entertainment with family or friends, that it was pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that we ask ourselves about the opportunity cost. Because when we decide to make a move, for every move you make, there's another move you're not making. So saying yes to everything is not a reasonable lifestyle. If you say yes to everything, you are saying no to your existing priorities, some of which are extremely high. And oftentimes our struggle is one of prioritizing. at a personal level, at a family level, at an organizational level, and for the sake of the ummah as well, that we prioritize what are the most important things. And then we focus on the moves that will lead to those outcomes. Because every time we say yes to something of a low priority, we are hurting our potential or the potential of that family or the ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us not to be distracted. When He tells us in the command in the Quran, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, you have been distracted by a mutual competition for more. More of what? More of a dunya. It's not in the positive sense. Allahu in the Quranic language, to be diverted or distracted, is a negative thing. Because by definition, you are choosing something of a lower priority over something of a high priority. And the believer recognizes that this is a world of distraction. So one part of the test is to know how to say no to things and to filter out the things that will distract you. And so if you have a smartphone, a very practical example is to filter out notifications that will not help you on that day, will not help you in your productivity. Focus on a task and avoid other tasks. Focus on the projects that matter most. It's very easy for us to say yes to appealing opportunities and projects and ideas, but we have to remember we're saying no at times for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can have ihsan in the things that we are doing. Another part, another way to accomplish this particular task is, of course, through istishara. Sometimes people rush into life decisions that have ripple effects, but they don't ask enough for advice. They don't ask people who are trustworthy, somebody who will give you something of wisdom in that particular area of life, or someone who knows you really well. So ask, don't be shy, and don't have any pride. Ask, especially when you know that it can benefit you, inshallah ta'ala, to have multiple opinions that will inform your decision. But right as you are about to decide, and you're inclining to move forward with a decision and a move, that's when you pray istikhara prayer. Cannot possibly live your life not utilizing the essential thing that the Prophet ﷺ told us in our decision making is key, which is to pray two rak'ahs and to ask Allah for blessings in this thing that you are pursuing if it's good for you. And if it's not good for you, to prevent it from happening and to distance you from that thing and that thing from you. But of course, all you can really do at this point after you've done your research is to proceed until something arises of a challenge or an obstacle, and then in that case you reconsider. The istikhara prayer is not to decide between A and B, but rather you've already done your research, you are proceeding now, and if something comes up and stops it from happening, that is the response for the istikhara prayer. Don't expect some kind of divine sign or a supernatural thing or a dream. You just proceed as the Prophet ﷺ taught the companions. There is a narration reported by Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah. It's found in some of the earliest compilations of hadith. It's not a very well-known report in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about this issue of opportunities. Man futiha lahu babu khayrin falyantahizhu. Whoever for them a door of opportunity, a goodness opens for them, let them rush towards it. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُغْلَقُ عَنْهُ. For you do not know when that door will be closed for you. And in reality, if we really believe, as the Prophet ﷺ advised us, that every salah is our last salah, every interaction with family or friends is a final interaction, we'll find our lives changing significantly. You'll find your opportunity in that moment is perceived as a final opportunity. That is a farewell hajj, that is a farewell tawaf, that is a farewell qira'ah, that is a farewell salah. فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. As the Prophet ﷺ said, pray the prayer of the one bidding farewell. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the earliest of scholars in the early generations, he said, if you intend to give a charity or to do a righteous deed, then do it immediately before the devil obstructs your path or diverts you. So in other words, if you're thinking, I want to do something good, I want to pray two rak'ahs, I want to do qiyam, I want to read Qur'an, start on the act of worship. Don't delay it till later. You'll find that the moment, that gap of overanalyzing, should I do a righteous deed or not, may end up preventing you from it altogether. And we recognize this reality. And finally, advice number four, don't live in the past. You see people making mistakes at times, or things will happen to them out of their control. If all you did was think about the past difficulties or the mistakes that you made, it'll be difficult for you to adjust and focus on the present. The past cannot be changed. And so learn from it the lesson you have to learn, but move over to the present. Imagine someone's playing basketball and they missed a shot in the first quarter. Now the rest of the game, they're upset and angry and they're just throwing everything away. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not a very stable thing to do in terms of efficiency. But we are human. And because we have emotions, we have to be reminded at times to redirect that emotion, that pain, the sting of the moment in which there was a mistake, into making up for it in other ways. But it cannot be by living in the past. How else are you going to move on to the chapter of the present? If a player in the game of chess is stuck on a mistake in the first moment, they won't move on to improve in some way. If a student is upset, they messed up on an assignment, did not receive full credit or points, and they're upset, so they discard and throw away the rest of the semester. It's not a very efficient strategy. And the same applies to every area of life, one's marriage, one's children. So focus on what you do have control over, which is the present. And alhamdulillah, for a world in which even when we do fall into mistakes, and even when we know that we've done the worst of things, that if we are sincerely returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a spiritual lens, there is room and there is hope, but it has to be right now. It has to be in the present. This is the opportunity. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So when the believer recognizes that outside of my control, outside of my influence, there are things I cannot be stuck thinking about, I cannot deliberate over, they start to focus on changing their lives in the present and therefore having a ripple effect in the future. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about qadr in general and the things that we cannot change so that we are not as affected emotionally? As he tells us subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, so that you are not as upset. You can be upset. So you're not as upset. You're not depressed because of something of the past that you cannot change. So you're able to cope and move forward. You're able to understand that there's something you need to do today. And so that if you are given a blessing, you are not overly elated, so you become prideful. So then you become neglectful of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of your life and for your family and for our ummah in general, the story of your life is written with the choices that you're making today. So choose wisely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and bring down His divine justice and swift mercy for our brothers and sisters. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He's the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ